May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, we talk a lot around here about people having an encounter with Jesus. Not just you personally in your own walk having encounters with Jesus, but that we're called to bring encounters with the risen Christ everywhere we go. That our assignment, our calling, is all to be Christ-like, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. But our assignment is also common in that we're all called to bring heaven to earth, or to bring into an environment, or bring to a person a real encounter with the risen and ascended Lord Jesus in our life. Now, we have different specifics in terms of our assignment. Some do this or that for a living or this kind of thing, but we still have the same assignment. We're all missionaries. Scripture talks about shining, let your light shine, but we've kind of reduced it to an act where we try really hard to shine, but shining is a fact, not an act. And either you're shining or you aren't. If you pretend to shine and somebody works with you, it won't last for very long. Or if you pretend to shine and somebody lives with you, it won't last very long. They'll discover pretty soon that it's an act and not a fact. In the Song of Solomon, I wrote a devotional this morning. It's really about chapter 5, verse 1, but it kind of starts in chapter 4. Quickly, if you're not familiar with the Song of Solomon, it's a metaphor, not about a real relationship between two people, but it's a metaphor, a poem about God's relationship with his people, and prophetically about the relationship between Christ and his bride, collectively and individually. And in the Old Testament, the Jewish people considered it the Holy of Holies of Scriptures, and there's been more commentaries throughout history on the Song of Solomon than any other book in all the Bible. Pretty amazing. And the Song of Solomon is about believers and Jesus, and that among believers there are those who decide to kind of separate themselves from the pack and to apprehend that for which they've been apprehended. We were created in Christ Jesus to experience and to manifest our union with him. Every single Christian is in union with Christ. Every single Christian doesn't know that. Every single Christian doesn't make the pursuit of their life to abide in that reality, to kind of remain in that conscious condition. But it's true about every Christian. Christ is all and he's in all. And so if he's in all believers, then you have all that Jesus is. But unfortunately, the enemy deceives us into being satisfied with having some. The Song of Solomon is about believers, referred to as the Shulamite, this particular one, the Song of Solomon, who's decided to separate themselves from the pack, who are content with some and are in the pursuit of all. They want to spend their life radically pursuing as the one thing that dominates their life, the discovery, the experience, and the manifestation of their union with Christ in his fullness. In chapter 1, in the first part of chapter 1, those Shulamites are referred to as the hidden ones. There's only one other place in Scripture in the Old Testament where that word is used, and it's in Psalm 83, verse 3, and it's referred to as the treasured ones there. I think in the Song of Solomon, it actually says maidens, but it's really the word really means hidden ones. Those who want to live from the inside out. Those who want their interior life to be a festival of experiencing the life of Christ, and their influence to be an overflow of that celebration. Because again, all true ministry is an overflow of a satisfied life. If we try to find satisfaction in our ministry, then we've gotten our identities messed up, and we'll end up frustrated all the time. Let's just say praying for the sick. You'll feel really good about yourself when they get healed and feel really bad about yourself when they don't. I remember when I first moved here, I spent time with a guy who was a pastor, really great guy, who had a real passion to see people get healed and to see the miraculous occur. And he said, I live for miracles. And I thought, uh-oh, you're in trouble. Jesus has a passion to see signs and wonders happen too through us because he wants people to encounter him. But we can't live for those things. It's him. The Christian life is about him. The Bible is an H-I-M book. And anything that we do, whether they encounter the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us in situations, or they encounter the gifts of the Spirit, is all an overflow, or it's not going to last. You find yourself just trying to squeeze out fruit. You'll be a limb straining And that's Jesus calling, saying amen to the word I'm sharing with you. In Song of Solomon chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, Jesus speaking to the Shulamite just simply says, "You're a garden enclosed, my sister and my bride. You're a garden enclosed with a spring sealed up." And then down in verse 15, "You're a garden spring and a well of living water and streams flowing from Lebanon," which is about who we are as new creations. And so there he says that first and foremost, I'm created for his pleasure. I'm created to satiate his thirsting heart. When he says in chapter 1 of verse 5, he says, "I've come into my garden," talking about us, "my sister, my bride." That song was playing, actually. "Come into your garden, take delight in me. I've gathered my myrrh among with my balsam, and I've eaten my honeycomb and my honey. I've drunk my wine and my milk." Milk and honey always speak of the land of Canaan, which is spiritually about the life of victory that Christ lives inside of us. Supernatural holiness. Not the holiness of strain, but the holiness of his life and the celebration of that. Milk and honey and wine is, wine always speaks of the Holy Spirit. Myrrh and balsam talks about your crucifixion, resurrection with Jesus. I don't get all hung up in all those weeds. The point being is, he says, "I take delight in you because I find myself being reproduced, remanifested in you. My victorious life, you aren't just one with me, but you're becoming experientially one with my victorious life." That's our greatest expressions of love to him. Our greatest expressions of love to Jesus isn't our singing songs to him, is our being a song of him, making melody in my heart to the Lord. But then he says this, he says, "Eat, friends, drink, and be intoxicated deeply." Now your Bible may say, "Oh, lovers," but it's actually the word neighbors. Kind of like a Mr., what's the guy's name? Roberts. "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood." Yeah. It's kind of like the first commandment, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." That's this verse. As I love God with all my heart and all my soul, by allowing the victorious life of Christ to manifest oneness in my interior life, in the hidden life. But then he invites all the neighbors. See, here's the deal. If you're abiding in Christ and the life of Christ is being released and manifested in your interior life, you will not have to work up ministry. You won't have to go find people. I mean, it's okay to go out, but you can go out. He'll just bring people to find you because he knows that when they find you, they will drink deeply and become intoxicated with their encounter with him when they encounter you. That's the truth. I think I've told you the story of a guy named Manly Beasley, passed away some years ago. He was a great Baptist revivalist, actually. And he had like 4 or 5 different terminal diseases at the same time, and one of them caused him to go blind. But he got healed. But every time the ophthalmologist would examine him, he was blind. And he was that way for 30 years. But he could see 20/20. But he ended up in the hospital with some other things that were going on with him. And he led gazillion people to Christ. More people got healed. Christians who were there had real encounters. They drank deeply of Jesus in his life. And his whole issue was, and he wasn't able to get up and move or anything for a few weeks. Then he got healed again. But he said, here's the thing. He said, "If you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bear much fruit." He said, "If you abide in Christ, you can't help but bear fruit. It's unstoppable. So don't try to run around and gather fruit. Just abide in Christ, and he will make sure you are positioned so that people, the neighbors, can drink deeply from you." I love that scripture. "I've come into my garden, my sister and my bride. I've gathered my myrrh among my balsam. I've gathered that you have personally experiencing the crucifixion and resurrection. I've eaten my honeycomb, my honey. I've drunk my wine and my milk." Again, the words of that song is, "Come into your garden and take delight in me." He takes delight in you when he finds him thriving in you. And then he says, "Eat, friends, drink, and get intoxicated, neighbors, from her." He said, "I've feasted on her life. Now you come feast on my life in her." That's the way it works. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.